is it?
Let's go over Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, and Nami Maida, Nami had a relative.
Oh, you did a Rashi on this
one. I know. We had this whole thing here. We had your kasha. Well, Nami Maida, Nami had a relative, but Isha to her husband. It was Elimelech's nephew. Ishki Berchayel, he's mighty. He's a man of valor. Mimishpachas Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech. Ushma Bayas, and his name is Bayas. Pasuk Shad in the Pasuk is Maida doesn't mean relative. Maida is someone that he knew. There's someone that Elimelech knew. His name was Bayas. He's a very strong person. And he's also related to him. So that's the Pasuk Pshat. The Maida doesn't mean relative. Maida is something that he knew. Rashi says Maida is a relative. So the Kasha, your Kasha is on Rashi, not on the Pasuk. If the word Maida means that it's someone they're acquainted with, then you wouldn't have a question.
Right.
Number one, they're acquainted with him, and besides, he's also related.
Well, it's written as Maida.
Yeah, but you read Maida. Okay, I mean, the Vav is in place of a Yud.
Right, but the fact that it's written a certain way also tells us something.
Yeah, you are indeed right. You are indeed right. So Rashi tells us that there were four brothers. There was Elimelech, Salmon, Taiv, and Nami's father. Amar Rabbeinu Elimelech, the Salmon, Pliny Almoni, who's Taiv, and the father of Nami. They're all children of Nachshon and Aminadav. They had a lot of schusavas, and it didn't seem to help them. They left Eretz Yisrael, and all the schusavas that Elimelech had, he's descended from Nachshon ben Aminadav, that didn't help him. He died, his children died, so the schusavas didn't help. Seder. The Alshak has a kasha. If Bayez was related to them, and they actually knew Bayez, then why didn't Nami reach out to him for help? He was a shayfet, he was a leader, a wealthy man. Why did she ask him? Ask him. The Alshak has two reasons. Hey. These two reasons are, you know, it's what went through her mind. They're not necessarily true. It's just this is what went through his mind. She was hesitant to ask Bayez for help because, number one, Elimelech was a wealthy man and he left the Jews during the famine. Elimelech was wealthy. He left them. He deserted the Jews in the time of trouble. So who was left? Who actually did support the Jewish people during the 10 years of Ra'av, 10 years of famine? Bayez. Bayez was wealthy. Elimelech was wealthy. Elimelech left. So Bayez did what Elimelech was supposed to do. So you can understand why she wouldn't want to reach out to Bayez.
This is Nami, eh?
Nami, because she'll reach out, you know, she was afraid. She'll reach out to Bayez. And Bayez says, oh, now you're reaching out to me for help. Just like, you know, where were you when you had all the money and all the people needed you? You weren't there for them, and you went off to Mayav, and now you need me. So she was afraid to ask him. Now, it doesn't mean that Bayez thought that way, but this was why she was hesitant. And the other reason why she was hesitant is because she thought that Bayez might be angry at her for bringing back a Moabite woman. There was no precedent for that. This was the first time. You bring back a shiksa. You bring back someone that quite possibly can't convert. You bring back someone that quite possibly can't marry a Jewish person. These are all things that were going through her mind.
So according to the Alshak, she was not Jewish?
According to the Yal Sheikh, she thought the buyers might be angry that she brought back someone that shouldn't join Klal Yisrael.
Okay.
You know, even if someone from Amman and Mayav converts, the Bidi Yevid, ex post facto, the Geirus is good. It's just they can't marry anyone.
Can they marry an Eved?
Is
there any way out of that? An Eved that you have for you.
They could marry another Geir.
Another Geir from Amman and Mayav?
Probably any other Geir, because they can't come into Kaal Hashem and Geir and not from Kaal Hashem. Ever, right.
The kids can never marry in?
No. If a male member of Amman and Mayav enters Kaal Yisrael, they can't marry anyone.
Well,
why would they ever enter?
Why would they ever enter? That's a good deterrent. The commentary of the Igeri Shmuel has a question the other way around. Why didn't Bayez reach out to Nami? You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he thought that she was still rich, or she still had some wealth left over.
Maybe. But she didn't. So your tarots, you can give a tarot like that, but that's based I'm assuming that he had a mistaken assumption.
Well, she had a mistaken assumption, right?
On what?
I'm saying about like what Boaz might think if she had...
Right, but to think that someone that has absolutely nothing is still rich after she coming back without her husband, kids, and camels.
Oh, all right.
She came back without camels.
Right.
You know, she
they
got there,
have,
so
like,
she must have walked. She must
days.
Have walked.
I guess so.
Because she had no camels. They all died. So why didn't he help them? So the Igeri Shmuel answers, because his wife just died.
Who's that?
Boaz is.
And therefore?
What, the moment Ruth and Naomi entered the country was the very same moment of that the funeral of Boaz's wife took place.
Oh, she wasn't thinking about helping
he
other
was sitting
people.
Shiva.
He
was sitting Shiva. And then by the time he got up from Shiva, Ruth was already gathering grain in his field. She was gathering leket, shikha, and peah,
which is for the aniyim.
Right, so when they first came, he was occupied. And then Ruth was already gathering her own grain. And Boaz figured that it might prove to be embarrassing to her if he just gives her a hand up. So I'll help her that way. You know, we're going to learn later that he had the harvesters drop things right in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
So he did help her. So if he would have been available, if he would have been available when he first came in, so then his help might have taken a different form. But he wasn't. And then once he saw the Rus was in his field, so he wanted to give her her due respect.
Why didn't he give her a job? That's the highest level of tzedakah.
Maybe he didn't have a job for her to do.
I don't know.
As opposed to dropping things for her.
I don't know. He basically did give her a job. He said that she could be with his workers. She gave him a place among his workers.
Okay.
She did give him a place among his workers.
I like it if I pay only for Jews to play.
No.
Wait, what was the relationship between Naomi and Boaz?
Boaz was Naomi's nephew.
Oh.
It was her husband's brother's son, and Boaz was also her first cousin, because it was her father's brother's son, right?
Mm.
So she was a first cousin and an aunt at the same time. Ramosha David Vali says his name was Boaz. His real name was Ibsam. Aleph Vey Tzadok Nun Sofis.
How do you spell it?
Aleph Vey Tzadok Nun. He was called Boaz, because Boaz means he has strength within him. Boaz.
Oz.
So he has strength, he has inner strength. Now where is this demonstrated? Demonstrated by later on in the Sefer, Ruth enters the granary at night, and Boaz used to sleep there at that time of year. Boaz used to sleep in the granary, and she approached him in the middle of the night with a request that he should do the mitzvah of Yibam with her. And Boaz demonstrated the power and strength that he didn't do anything improper with her the entire night.
Isn't Yibam a proper thing to do?
Yeah, but you see, Yibam is only Yibam if you're the one. There was someone that was a closer relative than Boaz. There was Boaz's uncle. And therefore, Boaz Paskin, you know, he was a Paisik. That this is not the time. If he does it now, then he's doing it before the time and it's improper.
So he held himself bad.
He held himself bad. Boaz. And there was no one, you know, and he knew that this woman was destined for him. He knew she's the one. He knew that it was a holy thing. And this is the, you know, it's proper. And there could be great things coming from it. He had all the excuses in the world if he wanted to do it, and he didn't. Boaz. By Paragal of Pasuk Beis. But Taimur Rus HaMayaviyah, and Rus the Mayaviyah, we're calling her a Moaviyah. She's Jewish. Why are we calling her a Mayaviyah? El Naomi, and she said to Naomi, El Chana, let me go now, Asada, to a field. Balakata, Bashibalim, and I will glean among the sheaves. I will glean among the sheaves. Achar, and afterwards, after Asher Emtzachin Be'enav, I'll find favor in his eyes. Because even though the mitzvah of Lakat Shechan Peah is incumbent on the owner of the field, but they weren't always so nice about it. You know, why does someone have to? Why does everything have to be? You know, that someone says that.
Sorry.
You know, so if they weren't always so nice about it, the pasuk says that she's going to try and find a place that she'll find favor in their eyes. So the pasuk's saying that they're not always so nice about it. So God's the one that says that. It's the mefarish of God. V'atayim ala lachi biti, and she says, "Go, my daughter." So she's calling her a daughter. So Ruth has different names. She's called Naomi's daughter, she's called Naomi's daughter-in-law, she's called Orpah's sister-in-law, she's called a Moabite. The Chibiti. Go, my daughter. Rav Moshe David Vali says the reason why Naomi calls Ruth a daughter in this pasuk. I mean, there's many other pasukim that she could have done that. Why is she calling a daughter in this pasuk? Because Ruth did not need Naomi's permission to go out and gather in grain or wheat. I mean, just the very fact that she asked her, she said, "Naomi, could I go out and gather some grain? I'm going to do that. Is that fine? Is that okay?" Why is she doing that? She's doing that because she felt towards Naomi like a mother. She felt that Naomi was her mother. She related to her as a daughter. And the daughter doesn't go out to gather grain for the mother without speaking to the mother first. And that prompted Naomi to call Ruth her daughter. Because if Ruth's relationship with Naomi is that of a daughter to a mother, so Naomi acknowledged it. She called her a daughter. Later on in the pasuk, it says she's going to go to a place, she's going to find favor in their eyes. Rav Moshe David Vali has a kasha. There's a halachic problem here. Let's say you have a friend that's a poor person. You're not a poor person. You're a rich person, but you have a friend that's a poor person. And he's an old guy, and you want to help him out. So when he goes to the field to collect, so you go along and you help him out.
You're not allowed to take.
You're not allowed to help him out. Not only you're not allowed to take,
Because it's only how much he could carry, right?
But you can't help him. No, there's a different reason.
Oh.
You can't help him out because that's unfair to the other poor people. If there's something that he wouldn't get, and he's only getting it because you're getting it, so then you're stealing from the other poor people. So Ramosha David Vali says, what did Ruth mean when she said, I'm going to go to a place and I'm going to find favor in someone's eyes? It's very, that's, you know, that's not so practical. You're going to go to a place that you're going to find favor in his eyes. How is he going to be able to help her when he's not allowed? You're not allowed to help the poor person gather the Lekha Chichabay. Ramosha David Vali said that there's something beneath the surface here. She wasn't referring to Lekha Chichabay, because you're not allowed to receive help for that. She was referring...
Who was going to give her help?
The owner of the field.
Was going to help Rus or Nami?
The pasuk in the pasuk is that Rus is going to go to a field where the owner is going to help her. That's not allowed. Ramosha David Vali says that she was revealing something through Ruach HaKodesh. She wasn't referring to Lekha Chichabay at all. She said, I'm going to go to a field, I'm going to find favor in his eyes.
Mary,
yes. She was a nevuah. This was a prop. This is a prophetic vision. The Mavim says there's a particular schus that Rus has. Why wouldn't Nami go collecting and begging? Why Rus?
She's younger.
How come? She's younger, yeah.
So maybe.
Maybe that Nami wasn't capable. That's true. That's certainly possible.
Nami would have more of a chance of getting money from people than Rus, wouldn't she?
Well, that's exactly. The Mavim says that Rus and Nami had a conversation about this. Rus told Nami, people recognize you, so if you go to their fields,
they'll be upset.
It's gonna be it's gonna be disgrace. It's gonna be a disgrace for you that you fell so far. But they don't know me, so I'll go, and no one will know me, and they won't know, and I'll just get. And the mom says that Lemaiser, you have to realize that Rus was a princess. Her father was a king. Her father was Eglon, the king of Moab. And she was saying, well, nobody knows about that. They don't know that I'm a royal princess. So I can get away with it. But you, Nami, you shouldn't go. That's why she said, Elchana, I'm going to go. Meaning, I am not you. Now, we mentioned before that Nami called Rus a daughter. Sometimes you call someone a daughter because they're very young. A little kid, you call a daughter. The Medrash says that Rus was 40 years old. Therefore, Nami called her a daughter because of the relationship, not because of her age. Biti doesn't mean little child. Biti means I love you like a daughter. This is the Medrash.
It's called daughter not because of what?
Not because of her age, you know, because the Derech HaOlam is that you have little kids, you'll call them daughter because they're just little.
So why did it call her daughter?
Because of the relationship, because she felt related to her. Tasa Gimel. Vatelech, and she went. Vatavai, and she arrived. Vatalaket, and she gathered in. She gleaned basada in the field. Acharei kaitrim, behind the harvesters. She was behind them. Vayikim mikra, and it just so happened. Vayikim mikra, as it just so happened. This is a strange turn of the phrase, and it just so happened,
things don't just so happen.
Coincidentally, But you can make real, coincidentally. Chalkos Asada, the portion of the field. Labayas, whose field? Labayas' field. Hashem and Mishpachas Avimelech. He's from the family of Avimelech. Yo. All right, then, you know which. There's a commentary on this pasuk called the Turi Zahav.
It's Haz?
No, it's spelled with a Tuf, not with a Tes. Turi Zahav. Tuf Vav Reish Yud Zayin Hei Veis.
Not the Taz.
It's written by someone contemporary. The two resolve. It says in the passage, she went,
what's
she came.
What's the difference in the translation of the name?
Tas is like a row.
A row.
And a tuf could be like a dove.
Okay, thank you.
Or a tern. It says she went, she came, she gathered. Where's she coming? You know what? If you look at the pasuk, it's right. There's a lot of verbs here. Vatelach, she went. Vatava, she came. Vatlaket, and there's three verbs, three actions, one after the other. She came, she went, she gathered. She's doing things. The Torah says this is an indication of her betachen. She said that the way that all the poor people gleaned in the field. And then there was her way. All the other people gleaned in the field. They bent down, they picked up some stalks, one or two stalks, put it in a bag, went weiter. So they got to the end of the row. When they got to the end of the row, they went back, started getting things weiter, you know, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Meaning they had to schlep, you know, they had to schlep their bag everywhere. The more they gathered, the more they had to schlep. And Ruth didn't do that. She went all the way to the end of the field. So she walked through the entire field until she got to the end. And then she started gathering at the end, and when she finished, she came back towards the beginning. So by the time her bag was full, she was back where she started, so she didn't have to schlep. But the other poor people, they would be schlepping here and schlepping there. So the Turi's ever says, why did she do that? It's because the other poor people, they couldn't bear to walk through the field and go to the end and see something on the ground and not pick it up. Because they were afraid if they don't pick it up, someone else is going to get it. And they won't have. So as soon as they saw something, they picked it up and the bag got heavier and heavier and heavier. And they got further and further away from their starting point, and then they had to schlep it all back. But Ruth had to talk him. Hashem wants her to eat. Hashem wants Naomi to eat. This is her hishtabas. This is what she's going to do. So she has no need to do that. She'll walk through the field. She saw stuff. She didn't pick it up.
The stuff that she's not allowed to pick up, you mean?
No. I'm talking even the things she's allowed to. But on her way into the field, she didn't pick up anything.
Then why was she there?
Then when she gets to the end of the field, she started picking things up, getting back to her starting point.
They would see it and they'd have to pick it up
right
away.
They'd go a little further.
They'd be nervous that like if they didn't pick it up right then, other people are gonna be picking it up,
so
and she won't be left with anything.
What would be the difference there if she picked it up on the way there and back?
Because then she'd have to schlep in both directions.
It's all original and matching numbers. I don't know if it is, but it's fast. I said next to the guy, I can't get
it. So that's just a Vatelech Vatava. I mean, Vatelech means she went to the end of the field. Vatava, and then she started coming from there. That's her loop shot. The Mabu says a pshat vatelach vatavai. The vatelach vatavai means that she arrived immediately. There was no, you know, she left Nami's house and she arrived immediately. The Malbim. Vatelach vatavai, she went and she came. It was like immediate. There was no, she didn't get lost. She didn't have to get directions. She didn't have to go to have any fields, any false starts, and go to fields that they didn't want her. But Teilch Batavai, as she went and came, was one process that was immediate. It was nearby, he says it was nearby.
What was immediate?
Her arrival at Bayez's field was immediate. So that's the Malvim's explanation why it says Teilch Batavai. Now let's get to the words Vayikra Mikra that just so happened, as if by coincidence. First of all, Ramosha David Vali takes note. It says, V'teilach v'tavai v'talaket basadeh. Students of Diktuk would know that there's a difference between the word bisadeh and basadeh. Are you aware of this? Bisadeh is in a field.
Basada is on the field?
Basada is in the field. Basada is as if it says Behasada. It's as if it's a Heya Yediyah. In place of a Heya Yediyah, you put a Pasuk under the base. So it's as if the Pasuk would say Behasada, that Ruth came to the field. Ramosh David Vali said that's an indication that this field was a designated field, Min HaShamayim. This whole field existed from the time of, from time immemorial, from Sheish Yimei Breishis. This field's purpose was for Ruth to come there and glean in the field. This is the field. This is the field of destiny. Isn't that awesome?
Field of dreams.
No, this is the field of destiny. Wake up. It's not a dream. This is the field of destiny, the field of reality. Be'asada. And at the same time, so that's the issue here. At the same time, the pasuk says, "I'm continuing from Ramosh David Vali."
Bottles leaking.
Mercy be. At the same time, it says Vayikra Mikra that it just so happened that she came to the designated field. This is an incongruence. On the one hand, you're saying this is the designated field. On the other hand, you're saying it's just a coincidence.
Where does it say it's a coincidence?
It says Vayikra Mikra. What is that happening?
Didn't we have that in Yemen?
Yeah.
Didn't that mean it was set up from Sheish Yimei Breishis?
Well, when you have this pasuk, there's two ways that the redemption could come. I'm talking about the final redemption. Why am I talking about the final redemption? Because this sefer is setting the stage for the final redemption, the Gula Asida from Mashiach.
It had to come from Moab because they had evil in
them. Had to come from Moab because they had the cruelty, and it had to come in a way as if it just happened. There's, if Hashem makes a miracle and redeems us through miraculous means, that's godless Hashem. That is godless Hashem. But it's even greater if HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems us through the forces of nature. Hashem controls everything. The forces of nature, they do what Kadosh Baruch Hu is bidding. Geula, true Geula, is not when Hashem rends apart the heavens and pours down fire and brimstone on our enemies and lifts us up on eagle's wings. True Geula is when you see even the nature, the natural world, that was Purim. The nature of a person follows the Kadosh Baruch Hu's will. There's no such thing as nature is also a miracle. Nature is also a miracle. I want to tell you a word I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Gifter, Zichur Lefracha, in an unrelated passage. I once asked him a kasha, that Bilam was riding on the donkey, and then the donkey spoke to Bilam. Bilam was riding on the donkey stops abruptly, Bilam takes out his sword, he threatens to kill the donkey. And the donkey says to Bilam, "Hey, well, yo, man, what are you trying to kill me for? I'm saving your life. Don't you see there's an angel there with a sword? He's about to kill you. Why? And the truth is, that's not exactly what the donkey said. But the donkey talked to Bilam. The donkey said to Bilam, he says, why are you doing this to me? Did I ever do this to you before? Or why are you beating on me? So did Bilam act as if he was astounded that the donkey is talking? No, he answers the donkey. He says, "What do you mean, you don't? What do you mean, you donkey? If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you." He just responds. Like, I guess I'm a gift. I said, I didn't understand. I said, there's no pause? Are you speaking to a talking donkey? Is this because is he such a rusher that he won't react to an ace, to Kadosh Baruch Hu? And my Rebbe said, no, just the opposite. Bilam was so, had penetrated the depths of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's universe to such an extent that to him there was no difference between a miracle and nature.
Like
to him,
Panina ben
Dosa? Yes, right. Yeah, exactly, exactly. To Bilam, well, you know, if we were talking about Bilam right now, maybe we'd go into that in more depth, but what, you know, right now we're doing Rus. I just mentioned it. See, because you know, to him, the human speech was a miracle. If a human being could speak, so then a donkey could speak. And there's some humans that their speech is proof positive that donkeys could speak. So this is, you know, Vayika Mikrao means that there was Ashkacha Pratis, there was divine providence, and every single move here was an ace. But it was all made to appear as if it just happened. She didn't, you know, if she would have known that it was Boaz's field and she got a road map to go there, and she'd go straight there because she knew he stood tzaddik, and maybe she wants to marry him and have righteous children from him, so then that would be more open. But she just went. And it was the first place she went to. And it just happened. Because the Kaikos HaTeva are also, you know, they are subservient. Because they're dependent and subservient to Hashem's will. And that's the way it's going to be in the Gula Sida. The Keich HaTeva is going to be shown for all to see on display that the Keich HaTeva are in the hands of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Teva is going to go Lamala Medech HaTeva. Pasuk Dalet. Vehine, and behold, Bayez Bami Beis Lachem. Bayez is coming from Beis Lachem, I guess that's the city, and he's coming out to the fields. Vayem Lekaitchem, and he said to the harvesters, Hashem Imachem, may the Lord be with you. This is a Mishnah Maseches Brachos, that it's incumbent upon us to greet each other with Hashem's name. Be allowed to use Hashem's name. When we say Shalom Aleichem, Shalom is one of Hashem's names. That's how we say Shalom Aleichem. Vayem Eloi, and then they responded, Yivarech Hashem. So he said to his workers, Hashem should be with you, and they said, God bless you. The Malbim so the pasuk starts with the word Vihine. Vihine is like a surprise. Vihine. And behold. It means this is like some kind of abrupt departure from normal scheme of things. Vihine. Because this was a miracle. Boaz never came to the field at that time. The Malbim doesn't say why not, but Boaz never came to the field that time.
Well, this is where, right after his wife's death.
That's gonna be the next thing I wanted to talk about.
That
yeah.
Could be why.
Right. Yeah. Could be. It could be. But that was not the normal time for him to come to the field. But Rus was there, so Kadosh Baruch Hu caused some happening. Caused something.
Yeah, like Gemara says that before she even died, Rus was on her way.
No, maybe Boaz left his Gemara Brachas in the field by mistake, and he had to, oh, I forgot my Gemara over there, and he came back. Something happened to bring him back, that's why it says Vihime. There's a couple of interesting points on the greeting. There's Alach, there and Avel.
A couple of interesting points on the
greeting, that Boaz greeted them. There's a halacha, which you should be aware of, that you don't give Shalom to an Avel. The entire first year. If somebody is an Avel over a parent, Le'aleinu Chas V'Shalom, so that for 12 months you don't give an Avel Shalom Aleichem. If the Avel says Shalom to you, then you can respond. I mean, when I was an Avel, and I would see people that I hadn't seen in like a week or a month, so I tried to be very careful to say Shalom first, because people don't remember, and then they wish shalom to me, and I didn't want them to do that, so I would wish shalom to them first. I'd run over to them and say, oh, shalom aleichem, so that they could say aleichem shalom back. Remember, there was a shaila which I was never a mavar. I never clarified this. What's the halacha by kiddush levana, if you could say shalom aleichem to an aval? So Reb Shlomo Alkovitz, he has a commentary on Rus, and he says that's why Bayez greeted them first. He said, in reality, when you're the boss, when you own a field, the worker should, Reb Shlomo Alkovitz, the worker should greet the boss first. Since when did the boss greet the workers? They work for him. He's giving them parnasa. They should greet him first. But Bayez is a novel. His wife had passed away. Those are just adding reasons why they should greet him first, because
he
might be a tzaddik, but their chesed is they should beat him to it. But in this case, they couldn't, because they couldn't give him shalom. So he said shalom to them first, and he said Hashem Yimachem, and they said Yivrech Hashem. But that doesn't explain why they chose those words. Hashem Yimachem. Rav Moshe David Avali said that Bayez, when he said Hashem Yimachem, he had an agenda. He wasn't just blessing his workers. So Bayez, his life was that he wanted to have Kedusha descend and spread throughout all of his works. He wanted Hashrayas HaKedusha in anything. To him, Kedusha was not confined to the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. His field was the Beis HaMikdash to him. That the sanctity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be everywhere. There should be no black holes, no vacuums, no areas that Hashem's presence is not felt. Because you can't have any Hatzlacha without it. So when he said, that's why he said Hashem Yimachem. He used to greet his workers. He said, I want the spirit, the Shekhinah of Hashem, to be among you, because I want to have Kedusha spread throughout all my holdings. He said, that's why the Pasuk starts out with the word Vihine, because the word Hine is the Gematria 60, and there's 60 letters in Birchas Kohanim. If you count, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichonecha, Yisra Hashem panav elecha v'yishem lecha shalom, you get 60 letters, because he wanted the Kedusha of Hashem to spread throughout his field.
Is he a Kohen?
No, he's from Shevet Yehuda.
Oh. Uh-huh. He says this
song? The Moshe David Valley.
Oh, that's awesome.
Alright. The Rabbi of Gifta told us that the Polish, he called him Erdmenschen. Earthman. Yeah, I mean, because he said one who has never seen a Polish unlettered, uneducated, rough, you know, we don't generally come in contact with people like that nowadays. Not that the people are any more civilized, but still they're very close to the ground. They're extremely unlettered and uneducated. Ed mentioned they understood that there's such a thing called Ruchnius, and you don't have a tzlacha without it. And the Bachar from Taos used to take walks and talk and learn.
They say to walk through the field because
they asked them to go through the field because they felt, they believed, that if they walked through the field, then
they're then in speech.
Oh, very nice.
It was in speech.
Very nice. So Asher said,
they walked through the field, what happened?
They would ask the Bachar to take their walks, their constitutionals, through the field because they believed that the crop here would be more bountiful. If the holy yeshiva, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, when he used to walk by in Baranovich, you know, when he used to walk by, I don't know if it was in Baranovich or when he was younger, I'm not sure where this was, but the Polish farmers used to raise up their hands and go, Święty Szmangę! Święty Szmangę is Polish for a holy person. But they felt that there was like an angel walking among them. Pasuk, hey, that's okay. But Bayez said to his young lad, Hanita Valakaitim was standing over the harvesters. Lemia Narazois. Who does this Nara, this maiden, belong to?
Talking about the Rus?
Yeah, he called her young. She was 40 years old. She wasn't. He calls her Nara. So Rashi says, why is Bayez asking this? It's not the derech of a person to do this, to inquire about young maidens there in the field. Why is Bayez doing this? Rashi answers based on a Gemara in Shabbos. He saw that she was a tzanua, she was modest, and he saw that she had her wits about her. She was a chachama, she had chachma.
She was coming from the background.
He saw that, it could be, but that's not what Rashi mentioned. He saw that when three stalks fell, she didn't pick it up, because an ani is not allowed to do that. But if two stalks fell, then she did. So she saw she knew the halachas, and that she was honest, because it's very easy for a poor person to be dishonest. Who's gonna watch over a poor person when he picks up three stalks, or if he picks up two stalks out of the three? You know, you really need a lot of your shemayim. And also, she used to glean while standing up, or she'd sit down. She'd either stand up or sit down, but she didn't bend over, because bending over for a woman in a field is not tzanua. So that arouses curiosity. He said, "Lemia narazosa with you, or what? Who is this?" That's Rashi. The Targum says that he was asking which nation she's from. It seems like she didn't look Jewish. He saw her. She looked like she's from another nation. Who's she from? Ramosha David Vali has a kasha on this Rashi.
On the Rashi?
Yeah, on the Rashi. It's a kasha. Because it's mashma that Boyer saw a tzniyistika girl that she wasn't bending over, and she was being honest, and he said, wow, that's interesting, that's strange, where is she from? Other Jewish girls didn't do that? You hear the kasha? Moshe David Vali asked this kasha. Other Jewish girls didn't do that? She was exhibiting Jewish values, and that was strange to Boyer. All girls did that.
But she didn't look Jewish.
Yeah. So you're giving a teretz already, that you're combining the two pshatim, the Targum with the Rashi. That's a teretz. I hear the teretz. I think that's a good teretz. She didn't look Jewish and she's still doing it, but Ramosha David Vali does not answer it that way. Ramosha David Vali says, yes, Jewish women, they're very, very poor. I mean, they're very, very modest and they're very honest.
But
when someone is poverty stricken, when a young
rules don't apply to them.
So then, not the rules don't apply to them, but the tzniyas goes out the window. They're hungry. They have to bring something home to the family. There's something sticking on the ground. If they curtsy, they're not going to get it. He said there was an erosion of standards when it came to the girls that would glean in the field, because they couldn't afford, or they felt they couldn't afford to be so modest, because it takes longer to do it that way. He said that poverty is a very big nisayon for people. It's a very big nisayon, it causes an erosion of standards. But Ruth didn't. Why? Ramosha David Vali says, so why, what gave Ruth the strength and the fortitude?
She wasn't poor for that long.
She was a bas melech. That's what you
mean?
A
girl.
And she still was a princess. And a bas melech doesn't bend over.
And a bas melech. What's the pasuk?
Yeah, we're all b'nai melech.
What's the deal? Doesn't apply to
it. Because Ruth's identified with it, and not everyone applies to it. Identified, we don't all realize that we've been in Malacha. Rav Shlomo Brevda adds to this. It's even more amazing. It's more amazing. You have to give her a lot of credit. You have to be in awe of her. Because she came from a nation that the lack of tzmias, immodesty was the norm for them. That was their standard. They actually came from immorality. Is that the most modest thing in the world for a daughter to have relations with a father? And who is the and light? Light was with Avraham Avinu. What do you know? What caused light to separate from Avraham Avinu?
No.
Do you know why light separated from Avraham Avinu? Because light shepherds were stealing. So that means that Amon and Moav have both immorality and gezela, thievery. And despite that being the origins of Rus, but she had this, you know, this modesty and respect for other people's property.
This is why he asked it.
And this was to him. Well, this is no. He asked it because he saw the poverty didn't corrupt her.
Right.
But Shlomo Brevda is saying that he's enhancing our appreciation of what she had to overcome in order to be like this. One more pasuk, Vav. Vayan Anar, and the lad answered, Anita Valakaitrim, who was overseeing the harvesters. Vayayma, and he said, Nara, she's a maiden. Meavia, she's a Moabite. He, that's what she is. Hashava im Nami, and she returned with Nami, Mistei Mayav, from the fields of Mayav.
That's how they talk. It's only from the land of
us,
from
like
the fields of.
Yeah, so.
He says she returned with. She returned with, or she came with her? Like, there's a difference in.
Because you're saying Nami returned, so she returned with Nami.
Now, there's the Machlaikas and the Mefarshim. What this lad was attempting to do? Was he attempting to praise Ruth Tobias? Talk about her in a positive light, or was he practicing character assassination? Did he have an eye in Taiva, or he had an eye in Har? So we'll start with the eye in Har.
What?
We'll start with the eye in Har. I mean, this is a Medrash. The Medrash says that he's telling Boaz, Mr. Boaz, the lad is to Mr. Boaz, you see many good character traits about this young maiden. That she's not stealing, and she doesn't bend over. That's not inborn. That's something which is foreign to her nature.
Why is that?
She comes from Nami. Nami brought her back. Nami brought her back, and Nami gave her strict instructions how to do it, and she's just following orders. All right, so she's respecting her mother. Her mother says, "You're gonna go." You know, that's like someone that goes into a show for the first time. And they say, you know, when you go in, make sure that you put a kippah on, or tell a lady to cover the parts of her body she should cover. So most that tells about her is that she's willing to listen, but it doesn't say anything about her character. Nara, she's young. So the man, why is he telling her that she's young? She wasn't so young. She was 40. Why is he telling Boaz that she's young? Because he saw something coming. It's interesting the way the Medrash looks at it. He saw it coming. Yeah, she's going to come, Boaz is going to ask about her, he's going to end up marrying her. He's telling Boaz, she's younger than you. She's only 40, and Boaz was 80. So when he said that she's a Nara, that she's young, he meant that there's an age gap. It's interesting, like this now saw it coming. He saw. He understood what was, and he wanted to prevent it. So when he said she's young, he meant she's younger. She's a Moabite. You're not allowed to marry someone from Moab, even if they convert. Because people from Moab that convert can't marry into Klal Yisrael. So this, he held that way. That was his Shita. It was a Machlaikas. Whether someone from Moab that converts could marry, and this young lad, the supervisor, held that you can't.
Is this
the Medrash? I'm here, yes. Until further notice. Number two, she's a Mayavia. Even though she converted, she's still a Mayavia. Because her Geras was not L'Shem Shemayim. She was only Megaya because she couldn't separate from Nami. So not only can you not marry someone who converts from Mayav, she didn't even convert. It was insincere. The Medrash says that he had another couple things.
That what?
This is, I said the Medrash adds, in addition, the Medrash adds that she was married to her husband. What happened to her first husband? What happened to Ruth's first husband?
Died.
So it's dangerous to marry her.
Well, it's only after two.
That's the halacha. He's giving him advice. And like I just told, he says to the buyers, do you want to be the second one? You know, every lady that kills off two husbands starts out with killing off one husband. And number two, he said they're cheapskates. Because Amon and Maya wouldn't give the Jews food in the desert. When the Jews really needed it, they needed food and drink. And they wouldn't because they're cheap. So he said, do you want a cheap wife? That's the Medrash.
Better than getting a jab.
The Igeres Shmuel says just the opposite. Just the opposite.
The who?
Igeres Shmuel. I mean, he has 2 points. He doesn't go through all the. He doesn't go through every word of the pasuk, but he says just the opposite. The reason why he called her a nara, a young girl, even though she wasn't so young, but he called her a young girl, because he's explaining to Boaz that he could marry her, because only the male members of Ammon and Moab that cannot enter into Klal Yisrael. But the female members of Ammon and Moab are allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. So he's telling Boaz, she's a nara, she's a girl. So it's okay. And then he extolled her praises. He praised her. She came back with Nami. She was in the cradle of luxury. She was the daughter of a king. She lived in the palace. And she came back with Nami, and she had nothing. Nami had absolutely nothing to offer her. So the Igeres Shmuel says the opposite. Now, just one final thing. The Alshich, Rav Moshe Alshich. One more thing. The Alshich. The Alshich, Rav Moshe Alshich. So do you think that this guy actually said this to Bayez? Could you imagine someone telling Bayez? Bayez says, who is this young maiden? And he said, oh, she's 40 years old. She's too young for you. Could you imagine a worker saying that? The Alshich said that he didn't say any of these things. The words that he said were, Nara Mayavia Hi Ashavim Nami Mistay Maya. That's what he said. It's just that when you there's a lot that could be understood and conveyed from the way you say a word. You could say the word Nara. Or you could say Nara. Or you could say Mayavia. Or you could say Mayavia. You could say Ashavim Nami. Ashavim Nami. So the Alshich said he didn't say any of these things. He just conveyed them. And as a machlokes, what he was conveying, was he conveying her in a positive light? What messages are in a negative light? Okay, we'll stop over here. Mitzvah Shemel Gavaita.